Lord, give us light in your word. And bless this fellowship. Enlighten us. Your word is our light. We pray. Through your spirit, continue to write it in us. We thank you for this time. We have a lot of concepts about the word. Sometimes we read it and we don't know what the Lord is saying. Certainly to the time of Moses, the Lord wrote his law, it says, with his finger on the stone tablets. And I think that was probably pretty quickly accomplished. The Lord explained it to Moses, and when you read it, it doesn't require much explanation. You shall not steal. That means you shall not steal, period. Doesn't require a lot of explanation. And that happens very quickly. And these tablets of stone also don't run away. And they don't say, no, I don't want you to write on me. Nope, the stones are quite obedient and they are quiet and it's easy to write on them. But your heart and my heart, we are not like this. We are not so obedient. Isn't that true? Is your heart very obedient? The Lord has some difficulty to write on our heart. It's not so easy. Even at the very beginning in Matthew 13, the Lord said, there was a sower that went out to sow, and the seed was the word of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. And the Lord describes that there are many different types of ground. And that ground is our heart. And how the word functions in our heart and grows and comes to fruition 160 or 30-fold. That depends on your heart. This word has to remain. And you all know the story. Often we hear the word, but as soon as we leave, we forget it right away. The heart is a little hard. As Hebrews also said, today when we hear his voice, what does it say? It says, do not harden your heart. Because if our heart is hard and the word comes and the Lord desires to write on us, in our heart, it won't work. And the enemy comes and takes it away. And nothing happens in our heart. We are rebellious, we say no, we are not obedient. And there is bitterness. So there's nothing the Lord can do. The heart has a will. A tablet of stone, or this board right here, it has no will. I don't have to ask the board, may I write on you? May I write the song's number on you? No one does that. That board has no will, it has no choice. But to write in my heart, I have a will. I can tell the Lord, no, not right now. Sorry, I'm busy. I'm working at my computer. I'm still watching TV. I don't have time. Come back later when I have time. Do you think we don't do that? How often does the Lord try to speak to us and we say, not right now, Lord Jesus, not now? And we have so many reasons and excuses to tell the Lord. We even say, Lord, I don't agree. I see it differently. How often do we read the Word and we interpret? We interpret it depending on what suits us. Do you think that in the New Covenant it's very easy for the Lord to write in our hearts? Look at our own experience. Do you think when Satan comes with his lie, it's written in your heart right away and you believe everything? If someone comes with some chatter, some gossip, oh, you're all ears. Because man loves darkness more than light. That's written somewhere. In our fallen nature, we believe and we accept lies so easily, I don't know why. But when the truth comes, we've got so many questions. But when lies come, you don't examine them. You're even really awake. What? Really? Wow. Tell me again. And what's worse is, after you hear that lie, you go and you add something to it and you tell others. That's how it is. If you don't guard your heart, then we will fall for this lie over and over again. Lord, I don't know how I can describe it to you, but I think you understand. And if our heart is in such a condition, and we come to the Word, and we want to hear the Word or read the Word, we fall asleep. But when you hear gossip, someone is telling you something about someone else. Oh, you're wide awake. You have ears like an elephant. It's strange that it's this way. So, do you think it's very easy for the Lord to write His law in our hearts? It is not easy. And so, when the Lord was on this earth, He said, this heart, the heart of these people, it's fat, and it cannot receive the Lord. So you see, on this part of the board, I can't write anything anymore. What will you write there? It's full. If I try to write Jesus across where it has all these numbers, you can't see it, you can't read it, right? I write Christ. You can't recognize a thing.
Can you read it? So,
so we have to turn a new page. You have to tear the page, remove it, crumple it up, toss it, toss it into the fiery pit. So now you have a blank page. So that's why the Lord said, see, I will give you a new heart. So on this crumpled up, scribbled full of stuff paper, you cannot write anything more. And even as powerful, as almighty as God is, he cannot do anything about a heart that is filled or fat in this way. Often we read about the Lord writing the law on our heart, and we think it's so easy. We say, oh, hallelujah, Lord, yes, just write on my heart. But do you think just having the law written on your heart once is sufficient? Maybe at times, if he's fortunate, the Lord might be able to write just a few lines, a few words on your heart. If you happen to be in a good mood, or you happen to be in a difficult situation and you're open to the Lord in that situation, so the Lord can take his chance and write a few words on your heart, a few verses, but then he has to stop again. It's tough. That's how it is, and that's why Hebrews says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's our experience today. People don't want to hear. And not only do they not want to hear, but they actively oppose it. They strive against it. And if you keep writing, then they will want to even kill you. So it is not so easy to write in our hearts. We really have to understand this. This crumpled up piece of paper is always in the way, so let me put it away. Get it out of the way. Yeah, it creates problems for the Lord when we have so much junk in our heart. In his ministry, Paul, said, you are a letter written not with ink. You are epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Not with ink, but by the Spirit. The service or the ministry in the New Covenant is not so easy. It's not so simple. You cannot write into anyone's heart without the Holy Spirit, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:3. We think we can just explain. Just speak some words, but without the Holy Spirit that enters into the heart, that can bring the permeate with the word that is living, powerful, and sharp. If you speak without the Holy Spirit, it's useless. There's no effect. On Pentecost, when Peter spoke and he was filled with the Spirit, the word pierced the hearts. And that was very effective. But we fight about and argue about the word. You think if we're arguing back and forth about the word, you think the Holy Spirit is writing? What can he write? Do you think he is writing what you're saying or what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit is looking back and forth, trying to figure out what to write. What should he write? You think it's a joke? If I argue with the Lord, he wants to say something and I say, no, that's not how I understand it. He wants to tell me this and I say, no. If I write on the tablet 150, would the tablet speak back to me? No, I want to sing song number 3. Well, fortunately, this board up here doesn't have its own will. But we are very self-centered. We are stubborn. We have our own will. We decide for ourselves. So difficult. And that's why, dear saints, the Lord has a lot to say to us, as Paul said. Paul has a lot to say, or the Lord has still a lot to say, rather, but we have become hard of hearing. And that's not just to do with what the author of Hebrews has to say, but also what the Lord wants to say and write. But I have no capacity for it. That's why the Lord says in Matthew 5, blessed are those who are poor in spirit and pure in heart. But if we are already full of our concepts or full of our own will and our own interpretations, our own understanding of his word, never mind filled with many other things that have nothing to do with God at all, then God has a problem to fulfill the new covenant. That's why when we understand the new covenant according to our own way or will, we say, oh, hallelujah, I'm free. Isn't that a more comfortable understanding or interpretation? Yeah, I'm free, so I can do whatever I like. Isn't that good? Freedom. That's the problem. No more law. I'm not under the law. How do you understand that? What do you understand that to mean? So does that mean you're a lawless? You can do whatever you like. No. You must live by the Spirit. And the law is fulfilled in us. We who do not walk according to the flesh, but by the Spirit. According to the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, but if we continue to walk according to the flesh, which means we as Christians could continue to walk according to the flesh, then we will die. Then death enters into us. Then there's no peace. There is fighting. But if we walk according to the Spirit, and if we focus our mind on the Spirit, then there is life and there is peace. So there are conditions, prerequisites for the Lord to be able to write his law in our heart in the new covenant, it is much, much more difficult than you think to do this. We think it's very easy. If it were that easy, wouldn't we all know him fully already? Why don't we know him better after so many years? Because it says in the Word, they will all know me from the smallest to the greatest of them. How well do we know him? Is it not scary sometimes that after so many years we are still doing so much nonsense? So that's why, saints, we need his mercy. We have to come to him continually. Come forward to the throne of grace to receive help. Because our help is not, oh Lord, help me, I'm sick or have this problem. That is part of it. But in particular, it's help in things pertaining to God. I desire to be perfected. I want to reach the goal. I don't want to miss the coming kingdom. I want to be obedient. I want to know you even more. I want to reach all the way to the Holy of Holies. I want to see his face. I want to hear his voice. That's what I need help with. Because it is written that that is the work of our high priest with regard to things that are pertaining to God, heavenly things. In English, it's the things pertaining to God. Oh, I need help with my human life, some little thing, with my homework. I need this, I need that. As if the high priest had so much time, well, then he'll have a lot to do. That's the kind of help we seek. Then in the end, he has to put all the big things aside and help us all with our little problems. Lord Jesus, it's not so easy. Oh, John, you're making everything too hard. I'm not making anything hard. We are making it hard for the Lord. We are causing problems for him. So we have to be reasonable, to cooperate, work together with him, to have an obedient heart, learn obedience, not to be stiff-necked, not to always speak against what he says, not always to say no. Lord, we want to know you. And when the Lord writes, and only when it's written on your heart, then you can know him. If I start writing a word on this board, but then I stop, so I write I-N-T-E-R, what am I trying to write? Nobody knows. It just says inter, but nobody knows what I want to say because I'm not done. So how can you recognize How can I recognize what God wants? Well, I could write international. I could write some other word that starts with inter. So it's like with God, if I don't let him write the complete word on my heart, if I don't let him complete his writing, how can I recognize or see or know him? So you think the writing is easy for the Lord? How rich is our Lord? How great is he? How deep? What does he desire to write? So if we don't let him write in peace until he's done, how will you know what he wants to say to you? Yeah, you know, we like to interrupt. And we think, oh, it's not too bad. I know what he wants to say. I already know it. That's a problem. We always interrupt the Lord when he's speaking to us because we know more than he does. We think we know more. The new covenant is much more complicated because the law must be written in your heart. And if he's not able to finish writing, then we cannot fully know him. We need light, we need revelation, we need heavenly understanding, wisdom. There are so many conditions. The scriptures show us in order for us to know the Lord. May the Lord give us understanding so that we can come to the goal. We can reach the goal. Praise the Lord. So let's go to chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9.
In Kapitel 8 lesen wir hier, dass der Herr
in Chapter 8 we saw
war das Zelt, Heiligtum,
that the Lord it wishes to build up the true tabernacle and not any man. We are earthly, but what the Lord wants to build is heavenly. And that's why we have problems, difficulties in building the church, because we can only build what is earthly. And it's very difficult not to touch this holy, the sanctuary with our hands. We always think we know better. In Hebrews 9:11, we see, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. Or in German it says, of the heavenly things, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not made with hands or man's hands. That is not of this creation, because the hands of man are only capable to handle things of this creation. We like to use our own abilities, our human methods. We use our own thoughts, how we might accomplish something better, why don't we try this or do that? We have so many good ideas.
Yep, that's a problem.
That's a problem. And in verse 24, he says, once again, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. Are we there yet? That's only possible if you only live according to the Spirit, not just once in a while, once a week. You're just in the Spirit just on Sundays, and that's not even certain. And then we want to build the church? With what? With dead messages, our own interpretations, where Peter said, first you must know, not your own interpretation of the prophetic word. We must know this. But we don't care. We even let very young brothers speak who don't even know what they're talking about. And everybody sits there and says, amen. And that's how we want to build the church? May the Lord have mercy on us. And I hope that when we are sitting here, that we must all learn to fear God and not to repeat such a situation, not to do such things. And I assure you, if we do such things, then it's only a question of time before we go downhill. Forgive me that I say this so seriously. It's not because I want to be, because I'm angry, but it's because I'm sad, sorrowful. Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. Verse 24. Hebrews 9:24, which are copies of the true. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That means, saints, when we are serving today as priests, we must do everything in the presence of God. And Paul, in his writings, repeatedly said, he does this or the other thing. He does it in the presence of Christ. And whenever he does anything, he is looking to Christ. And in the Song of Songs, have we also not read somewhere? We have to come to the point that we look to the Lord, our Master. We are just a slave. Oh, he meant Psalms, not Song of Solomon. Oh, yeah, we have not yet come to the heights of Song of Songs. The Song of Ascents in the Psalms. How can we serve if we do not look to him? But the Lord is at the right hand of God, All the time he's serving in the presence of God according to the will of God. And he intercedes for us and he advocates for us. Is that not wonderful? It is wonderful. None of us can execute such a ministry. And when the saints need help, what kind of advice do we give? Well, we give terrible advice. And the more advice we give, the bigger the problem grows. We like to give so-called advice. The word advice. Okay, well, the word for advice in German is spelled R-A-T, which is a rat in English. So in the end, we destroy people with our advice, our attempted advice, more than we help them. And that's a problem if we think that we're all knowing. Even though we know nothing. Can you search the hearts? It's wonderful how our brother read or give this testimony. Search my heart, O God. How often do you say this to the Lord? How often do you come to him in this way? With fear, we don't even know what's in our own heart. No wonder the word says that it pierces and exposes, brings to light the hidden things, the hidden intentions of the heart. And because he is the one who can pierce and search in this way, he can also judge us righteously. We always judge wrongly because we don't know anything. And then we come to chapter 11 of Hebrews. Then we see that the heavenly building that God desires is not built by man, but God was and God is the architect. He's the builder. Everything has to be built according to his plan. That's why at the beginning of chapter 9 we see, indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service. Divine service and the earthly sanctuary. We think, oh, I can worship wherever I like. It's the new covenant. So I can worship while I'm driving my car. I can worship while I'm showering. That's how we think. And I'm lying in bed and I'm sleeping. Oh, I can worship anywhere. So why do I have to come to Jerusalem? Why do I have to wait until the Lord's Day after the table? When I'm showering, I can sing hallelujah. Yeah, you can sing loudly in the shower. No one hears me. That's worship. That was the concept that many people had. Yeah, I'm daily worshiping. And you say that I can only do it at the Lord's table? What are we doing here? Have we not sung for years that the Lord's table is a feast? All things are ready. Come to the feast. In the shower? Why are you laughing? Yeah, we can worship in the Spirit all the time, anytime. Isn't that the case? Whoa, if you think this way and understand the Bible in this way. You cannot interpret the Bible however you like. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Well, then you have to tell the author, that's the past. That's the old covenant. Why are you talking so much about this? I don't want to hear this. Away with that. You are carrying us back to the old covenant. That's what people are saying. Someone wants to take us back to the old covenant. I don't know who this so alleged someone is. Don't know who they're talking about. And behind the second veil, Hebrews 9, verse 3, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all. You think there is no holiest of all? There is, very much so. Verse 4, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Oh, is there no more mercy seat? Well, chapter 4 says we have to come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, but there is no more throne of grace? Well, so show me, where is this throne? Where is the mercy seat? That means that what existed at the time of Moses still exists today. And today we don't need any incense. Yes, we do. But not the physical incense. Or not that kind of incense that they burn in the Catholic Church. And above it were the cherubims. And then he says, of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Paul, stop. Or author of Hebrews, stop. Stop, we don't want to hear about this. Today, how can you build the heavenly house of the Lord without this word from Exodus, where Moses was so faithful in executing everything? Why? Because we can read and understand what the spiritual meaning is for the heavenly building. Because that which Moses saw and built and described is an image, a copy of the heavenly things. You want to build however you like. But no, God has already given us a blueprint. But now we have to build all these things in the spiritual reality. Otherwise, how can you build? If we think we already know, or we think, oh, in the spirit I can do anything I like, then no wonder there's such a confusion, a jungle out there. A Christian jungle. Everyone does whatever he likes, and everyone builds whatever they like. We cannot do this. So when we read Hebrews, once we've read Hebrews, we dare not act this way. Only those who do not fear God would act this way.
Darum diese Dinge so bereitet sind, denn die Priester zwar alle Zeit in das erste Zelt und verrichtet den Dienst, aber in das zweite gegen
Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services, but into the second part the high priest went alone once a year, and as Hebrews 10 said, not without blood, but not the blood of animals, but through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that once for all? Well, so today I don't need the blood anymore? I just come into the holiest of all just as I am? What will the result be if I appear in my fleshly self as I am, in the holiest of all? The result will be death.
Ja, nicht ohne Blut, dass er sich selbst
not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Well, in how many ignorant sins have we committed? And verse 8 is very clear. The Holy Spirit indicating this. And in the German it says, the Holy Spirit indicates clearly. So through this picture you have to show, you have to see clearly what the Holy Spirit is trying to show or indicate. Or is it completely unrelated to us? You have to understand what the Holy Spirit is indicating. Please, saints, don't think I'm making this up. It's written right here. What does the Holy Spirit want to indicate? That the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, because at that time the sacrifices were just animals, but it was symbolic. That means that in the heavenly version we do exactly the same thing, but in reality with the true offering. Is that reasonable? Or do you have some other interpretation? Speak now or forever hold your peace, please. Speak now or forever hold your peace. So now's your chance. You can say if you have a different interpretation. Be reasonable.
Okay.
So it's written here that these animal offerings were only symbolic. But they cannot make him who performed the service perfect. That means that they are not making the serving one perfect in regard to the conscience. So it's clear that the perfection of the serving one here is in particular with regard to the conscience. So the blood of animals cannot wash away sin or sins. And that is why the serving ones are not perfect. Not in the sense of, oh, they're perfect, but and they'll never make another mistake, and it's not even possible for them to sin. Praise the Lord, now I'm perfect. Don't understand it this way. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation, or in German it says, until the time that the proper order has come. The proper ordinance. So, the ordinance is the true, the substance of all of these offerings is Christ. Yeah. Verse 11, Christ came, praise the Lord. The reality has finally arrived. Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. That means the reality of these good things, these wonderful things. That is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That means that once for all, he accomplished this redemption. And that means it is applicable and valid every day, any time when you need it, you can use it, you can apply it, it is perfect, it is accomplished. But he only has to die once for all. But how often do you need the blood? Daily. Only once a day? No, many times a day. Maybe you're better than I am, but I know I need the blood many times a day.
How often do you take the blood?
How often do you take the blood?
Once a week.
Once a week?
Okay.
How often do you enter into the Holy of Holies?
Sunday?
For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience. Yeah, without spot, without sin, without leaven, completely pure. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God as a priest. Otherwise, everything you do is without life. It's lifeless. Yeah. They are dead works. And in that sense, We are made perfect in our conscience because the blood works. But once we've been cleansed and we sin again, we once again need the cleansing through the sin offering that was made once for all. Well, otherwise the Lord would have to die for us daily. That's not good. So if we jump ahead a bit to verse 26. Or let's read verse 24 first, which we read earlier. Actually, 25. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at... Well, that would be really terrible. Can you imagine? If you had to die daily, if you had to be crucified daily. Can you imagine Jesus being crucified daily by you, by me, by people? That's not good. I have to say, that is why you should not... You should not understand this phrase that Jesus died once for all to mean that we never need any more offerings, but it means that he does not have to be crucified and die anew for us over and over. And when we bring offerings to the Father, it does not mean we are slaying Jesus Christ anew. In Heilbronn, at the Lord's table, when you're bringing Christ as your offering, are you killing Christ anew? No. But rather, as Peter said, we are bringing spiritual sacrifices, spiritual offerings. He then would have had to suffer, verse 26, often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared. And this is now the end of the ages and the new covenant. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, once for all. And that's why verse 27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die, does it say for men to die repeatedly? How often must or can a man die? Just once. So why should Jesus Christ die more than once? Is he not a man? That means the writer of Hebrews wants to convince us, show us, even man dies only once. My father only had to die once and he was gone. I never heard of a man dying more than once. Just Lazarus, only Lazarus. One exception. Well, and Lazarus actually was just a foreshadowing of the resurrection. That's to demonstrate that there is such a thing as resurrection and that ultimately he himself would resurrect. So, okay, we'll allow this exception. There is an exception to every rule. And we often use this word to preach the gospel. We say, oh, you know, men die once and after this there's a judgment. But this is actually not, in this context, the main point. But the point is to say that the Lord only had to die once, once for all. But after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Yes, he will come again, but not to die, but for the judgment, and also as the reward, or for the reward. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time for salvation, which is to enter into the kingdom. That is also salvation, and that is the salvation to the uttermost. If you are saved only halfway or a little bit, you are not qualified to be part of this special salvation. That means if you are disqualified for the kingdom, you are not saved to the uttermost, qualifying you for the kingdom. You are not qualified. And also means you are not saved for the kingdom, the coming kingdom. Lord Jesus. It's quite late, but tonight and tomorrow we'll finish it.